Thank you for being here today. So my first talk, I'm going to focus on preconception and prenatal substance use in the United States, and specifically talk about the role of preconception stressful life events. So I have no conflicts of interest or financial relationships to disclose, and I do want to acknowledge the generous funding that we received to do not only this study, but an entire program of research that focuses on the role of preconception stressful life events on substance use and poor obstetric birth outcomes. Okay, so this is going to serve sort of as a roadmap of what we're going to cover today. I'm going to first give you a context in which we approached our research questions. I'll talk about our study aims, the methods that we used, describe the results that we found, and the strengths and limitations, and then close with the conclusions and implications for policy and clinical practice. So some background. We know that alcohol and tobacco use during pregnancy are serious risk factors for poor birth outcomes. And in fact, in 2012, nearly a quarter of U.S. women of reproductive age reported using tobacco, and more than 50% reported drinking alcohol. While many women discontinue their use of substances during pregnancy, the rates of tobacco and alcohol use during pregnancy among U.S. women have remained pretty high. In this slide, I wanted to show you the cigarette use. So this is the prevalence of cigarette use among women of reproductive age. The blue line shows women of reproductive age in general. The red line shows women who are pregnant. And basically what we can see here is that since 2002, in cigarette use among women in general has declined, so this is statistically significant, use of tobacco among pregnant women has not substantially declined since 2002. So we have some more work to do. So what do we know about alcohol use among pregnant women? About 8.5% report alcohol use during pregnancy. Almost 3% report binge drinking, and less than 1%, 0.3% report drinking heavily. So substance use remains a serious public health problem. And we need to be thinking about how to develop interventions to address substance use, not only during pregnancy, but perhaps before pregnancy. And so these efforts may need to be shifted upstream to the preconception period, specifically to target the prevention and initiation of an unhealthy alcohol and tobacco use, and to help women stop prior to conception, because most of the pregnancies in this country, or at least about 40%, are not planned. So oftentimes women are using these substances, and they're not aware of the fact that they're pregnant. So we argue that there are additional risk factors, different points in the life course that need to be considered to better understand these health behaviors. And maternal stress in particular may be an important factor in predicting substance use in the perinatal period. So we know that maternal stress is an important factor in predicting substance use in the perinatal period, or it may be. Our own research has demonstrated the importance of the exposure to stress across the life course, particularly prior to conception. So we have a couple of papers that were published earlier this year in the American Journal of Public Health showing that exposure to preconception stressful life events increases the risk of preterm birth and low birth weight. However, no studies have examined how preconception stressful life events influence the use of alcohol and tobacco immediately prior to and during pregnancy, and also continuing into pregnancy. So our study aims, the study sought to understand whether preconception stressful life events affected women's health behaviors prior to pregnancy and during pregnancy using a nationally representative population-based sample. So specifically, we examined whether exposure to preconception stressful life events, which I'll define in a minute in the methods, affect women's alcohol and tobacco use 3 months prior to pregnancy, in the final three months during pregnancy, and in the continuation into pregnancy. So the methods that we use, so our data came from, they were from the early childhood longitudinal birth cohort. This is the only national birth cohort that we have here in the United States. It's a nationally representative sample of children born in 2001 and their families. The first wave occurred when the child was approximately 9 months old, and our sample resulted in about 9,350 mother-child dyads. So in terms of the dependent variables that we examined, we looked at alcohol and tobacco use, and it was determined through maternal report of use in the 3 months prior to pregnancy, during the last 3 months of pregnancy, and then we created a variable called continuation. So these were women that used before pregnancy and during pregnancy. We also had information about the number of cigarettes that women smoked per day before pregnancy and during pregnancy, and also the number of alcoholic drinks that they used, that they consumed before and during pregnancy. Our main independent variable of interest was preconception stressful life events, and this is a measure that we have developed over many years. We were fortunate enough to be able to map a lot of the major stressful life events using a variety of data from the ECLSB to construct a measure of preconception stressful life events. And these stressful life events are major life events, and they map very well onto the Holmes and Ray measure of stressful life events. So these are things that that are not daily hassles, they're not daily stressors. These are major things, like the death of a child, the death of a parent or spouse, divorce, separation, fertility problems, and these have all been shown to affect health and mental health. We also looked at a number of covariates, including prenatal health and stress. We examined pregnancy complications along with the mother's chronic conditions. We also had information about whether or not she had given birth to a preterm baby in another pregnancy or a small for gestational age baby. We also looked at maternal body mass index, infant plurality status, parity, and stressful life events during pregnancy. We also looked at a number of maternal sociodemographic factors, including the maternal age at delivery, race and ethnicity, marital status at delivery, health insurance, where these women were living in the United States, and their socioeconomic status. So our statistical approach included, we accounted for the complex sampling frame, so we used weights to account for this, and we conducted multivariable logistic and negative binomial regression models to examine the effect of preconception stressful life events on alcohol and tobacco consumption before, during, and continuing into pregnancy. So what were our results? So let me first orient you to this slide. So over here, we're looking at the 3 months prior to pregnancy. Here, these are the last 3 months of pregnancy. So overall, we found that that in the 3 months before women got pregnant, 23% reported that they had smoked. In the last 3 months of pregnancy, 11% reported that they had ever smoked. In terms of alcohol consumption, nearly 38% reported that they had consumed some kind of alcohol 3 months prior to becoming pregnant. That number went way down. So during pregnancy, about 3.3% reported using alcohol during pregnancy. So what I want to point out is these sort of go back to these pies, because I think it's interesting. Here, when we look at, we pull out the 23% who smoked prior to pregnancy. Among them, nearly half of them continued into pregnancy, smoking into pregnancy during the last 3 months of their pregnancy. Similarly, we can see here among the nearly 38% who drank before, 8.2% continued to drink during the last 3 months of pregnancy. So, and then these graphics down here are really to show you that that there's a lot of overlap between smoking and drinking. So what we can see that is that those who smoked before pregnancy were also drinking during before pregnancy. And similarly, those who smoked during pregnancy were also more likely to be drinking. So these are results from our multivariable logistic regression predicting cigarette use prior to, during, and continuing into pregnancy. And what we can see here is that being exposed to a preconception stressful life event was associated with an increased odds of of cigarette use in the 3 months prior to pregnancy, and also during the 3 months in the final 3 months of pregnancy, but was not associated with continuation into pregnancy. The other thing that I want to show you here is that stressful life events during pregnancy were related to tobacco use in the final months of pregnancy. So stressful life events during pregnancy definitely does seem to matter in terms of tobacco use in the final months during pregnancy, and certainly continuation into pregnancy. So this is a subset of women who used before pregnancy and then continued into pregnancy. I also wanted to highlight the fact that concurrent alcohol use was a strong predictor of cigarette use before, during, and continuing into pregnancy. I'm going to go through rather quickly. These are negative binomial models. The way that you can interpret these coefficients, this is actually the mean number of cigarettes. So, in other words, women who were exposed to preconception stressful life events on average smoked 96 more cigarettes in the 3 months prior to pregnancy compared to those who were not exposed to preconception stressful life events. Similarly, women who had stressful life events during pregnancy were also more likely to smoke during pregnancy, which we saw in the previous slide, and also continue into pregnancy. And these numbers are just staggering to me. The concurrent alcohol use, very strongly related to the number of cigarettes smoked prior to, during, and continuing into pregnancy. So what did we find for alcohol use? We did not find a relationship between the exposure to preconception stressful life events and alcohol use during pregnancy, before pregnancy, or continuing into pregnancy. The only significant predictor that I'm going to talk about here is really concurrent tobacco use. So again, we see that you know these things are clustering together. These behaviors are clustering together, and to increase the odds of use during during pregnancy, before pregnancy, and continuing on. This just shows the number of alcoholic drinks. One thing I do want to point out is that we did find that exposure to preconception stressful life events was associated with an increased number of drinks during pregnancy, and that was statistically significant. So what are our study strengths and potential limitations? This is the first population-based study to our knowledge to determine the exposure to stressful life events prior to conception was associated with women's tobacco and alcohol use prior to, during, and continuing into pregnancy. There are several potential limitations to keep in mind when interpreting our results. Certainly, women may have underreported their use of tobacco and alcohol prior to conception and during pregnancy. However, our estimates are fairly similar to other national estimates of use. There's definitely the possibility of recall bias because women were asked about their use at the 9-month period after the child was born, and they may not have remembered or what their behavior was before or during pregnancy. We also had limited data on stressful life events during and before pregnancy, and there may be other stressful life events that may be important that we didn't capture here. So in conclusion, mothers who experience any preconception stressful life event were more likely to use tobacco both during, before and during pregnancy, and compared to women with who were not exposed to preconception stressful life events, women with any PSLEs smoked approximately 5 additional packs of cigarettes on average in the 3 months prior to pregnancy. They also consumed 0.31 additional alcoholic drinks on average during the last 3 months of pregnancy. And among women who smoked prior to pregnancy, women who experienced stressful life events during pregnancy were more likely to continue smoking into pregnancy, into their third trimester. And then, as I mentioned before, concurrent substance use was highly predictive of whether or not women used these substances over this time period. So what does this mean in terms of implications? Alcohol and tobacco screening and cessation services maybe need to be implemented prior to pregnancy, as these services are critical to the long-term health of women and children. We may need to provide additional incentives to providers to ensure that women who have experienced these preconception stressful life events receive the services that they need so that they're entering into pregnancy as healthy as they possibly can. So we really need to be thinking about women's health capital. And then finally, women who are concurrent users of alcohol and tobacco and those who've experienced stressful life events during pregnancy may require comprehensive approaches, meaning we may need to really tailor our approaches to those vulnerable women in particular. I'd like to thank my contributors, my co-authors on this study, and I'm happy to take any questions. So the question was about whether or not there was any information in the survey related to smoking hookahs, and the answer is no. Unfortunately, it was only about cigarette use. But that's, I think, an important point, because certainly there are other things that women can, other ways women can smoke, and other things women can smoke besides cigarettes that may be important to know about. So thank you for that comment. Any other questions? Yes. So we did not, so that was controlling for all of those things. We did not look at the interaction of preconception, stressful life events with some of those factors, but I think that's a really great next step, or to stratify by income or, you know, some of them. Excuse me?
Or housing. Mm-hmm. Women are worried about not having a place to live during pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we don't have that information in this survey, but we do know, so the ECLSB has 5 waves of data, and we do know if they've changed zip codes or if they've changed, if they've moved after the child has been born, but we don't have that information during pregnancy, unfortunately. Other questions? Great, thank you.